I'm Vanessa Cole, co-founder of Cole Climb Builders, and our mission is to provide affordable new homes for families in need.
I'm Katrina Icasa, founder of Icasa Company, and our mission is to rehab homes for affordable home buyers.
We're friends, moms, entrepreneurs, and lovers of all things real estate.
By the way, we're both licensed realtors with a passion to educate on buying and investing in real estate.
Together, we have sold over $30 million in real estate, and our mission is to educate our listeners on buying, selling, and investing in real estate. Welcome to Housing Happy Hour. Welcome, everyone. Housing Happy Hour, episode 10. So we're super excited for today's episode. We are interviewing Mr. Bilal Akil. And a little background about Bilal, he's not only our guest for today, but he's also been a mentor, specifically in my life, and has just been a great person to just be around and learn so much from. But Bilal is a father, a husband, a businessman, a real estate investor, and also the host of podcast Above the Noise.
That's right.
So make sure you guys check that out, and we'll put the link below. And we're just super excited. We're super excited to interview him specifically on real estate investment because this is Housing Happy Hour. And just get to know a little bit more about how Bilal started, what kind of projects he has been working on over his career, what worked, what did not work, and where he is now. And hopefully some nuggets and takeaways that could help you guys who are aspiring real estate investors to take the next step. So let's start from the beginning, right? How did you get started in real estate?
So the year was 1997. I was out of school. I was in out of high school, in college, and I lived in a duplex on I can get very specific. Can I be specific?
Sure.
Ben Street in Houston, Texas. And it was a street that had been basically kind of, you know, left kind of to the wolves, if you will.
Yes.
Mentor had bought up like about 10 homes on the street. And this is Ben's at 288.
Your mentor.
My mentor, yeah. He kind of bought up like 10 homes. And I was renting one of his duplexes, one floor of it. And, I just began to kind of talk to him. I was working at the YMCA lifeguarding, I'm talking to him. And I'm thinking, okay, man, this guy, he owns 10 homes. And, I've always been the type of person that, believed in people. I thought to myself, okay, this guy can do it.
Right.
Then I can maybe not do 10, but maybe I can do one. Maybe I'm 10% as good as this guy is.
Right.
And so I began to ask him and talk to him, hey, man, what's going on with this? And so he, he says, what, you want to help? I'll tell you what, you take that house, and because now I know he'd be gotten kind of sort of over leveraged. He had 10 of these monstrosities, they built in 1930 to 40s and 50s. And it's a lot of work. So he said, you take that one and, you'll fix it up. And I thought, okay, fix it up. So I took my Discover card, took my credit card, got my Sears card, and did what I could. I go to there. Okay, we're going to do this. What happened was I was living on the first floor, and the top floor had a tenant on it as well. So what he did is sort of made me responsible for that tenant. And, so the tenant would come and complain. And, hey, man, this roof needs some, patches. So I'd go to him, and I'd say, hey, man, the roof. He said, okay, go buy some roof tiles in. Get it going, And for that, we worked out a deal on my rent where I would, take a lesser rent, which to me was a profit center because I'm lifeguarding, right?
So were you now, did you take ownership of the property or you were putting in sweat equity?
Sweat equity.
For a less amount of rent that you have to pay.
Yes.
So you can gain the knowledge.
That's it. Because I was 20 years old, I didn't really have the back. I didn't have somebody telling me, you do this, do that, do that. I think I had enthusiasm. And I like the idea of it. You watch the infomercials back in my day, it was TV. Yeah, guys, but you're going to get rich in real estate.
Yeah.
You sit back at late night and you see a guy on for 2 hours say, and real estate's the way to go. Da, 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 da. You think, yeah, I got to get real estate. And for $4.99, you're going to get my book program. I'm thinking, man, I don't have $4.99.
You're right.
But when I met this guy, I was thinking, okay, I don't have $4.99 to send this guy in L.A. for his book program, but I do know a guy who's on the street who's doing this. And so let me, that'd be my $4.99. So to your point, yeah, that was, so he would be considered my first mentor. Learned a lot of lessons, lost a lot of, you know, money relative to the, you know, to the time in my life. Yes. But I didn't look at it as a, my life is over, and you know, I always knew, you know, stuff happens, man. I mean, you know, I'm trying something new. I've never done it before.
That's right.
You know, let's keep moving forward. And it wasn't the only thing that I was doing, which is also, I guess, and one of the lessons you learn is, you know, when I say only thing I was doing, I still had a job, kind of, you know, yes. So it was something where I was, you know, looking for it to supplement, to create passive income, because I always knew this, you know, you always need to, multiple streams of income, yes. Very important.
Yes. So what was your next step? After this?
After that experience, real estate-wise, I think I sort of need to take a little breather, because that was a year and a half or so of, you know, a couple of years, and I was able to, you know, and then I moved on to some other things, got into financial services. And I think my next real estate acquisition was just for private residence.
Okay.
You know, because I started, you know, got married, had my first, you know, two children. And I said, yeah, I need to go ahead and buy a house. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All the real estate millions of infomercials, that's cool. Right now, I just need a place for, you know, my babies, you know, my wife and my babies. I got to represent. So I went out, I think, and I've lived in Pearland, bought a home in Pearland. Good. It was all good and what have you. And from there, I decided, my wife and I decided, we kind of like the city life. I was kind of more of a city, you know, I've been accustomed to inside the loop, a little tighter, but I felt the culture, this was me.
Yeah.
So I said, we need to do something there. Showed my wife the house. I showed her, it was a house in kind of in Ward 3. And I was like, man, you know, I know the house is different, but
yeah.
I promise you, this area is coming up. It's going to do something. It's, you know, I remember that. And so she's looking at it like, all right, babe, whatever. All right, that's cool. I get it.
This house was in Third Ward.
Mm-hmm. Third Ward, Texas.
So for those who are listening and aren't familiar with Third Ward, it is a predominantly an historic area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of the original homes are there, and it is an area that's being gentrified, or has been,
yes,
for some time.
Absolutely.
So
totally.
For a husband who is saying, hey, let's move our family to this area, and she's not from there.
Right.
And you're seeing a lot of the original houses. I think at that time, the crime rate might have been a little bit higher.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not ideal for the wife.
I just put it that way. Right, exactly.
At that time.
Right.
Right.
But you saw the potential, or I guess having your investor cap on.
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
it was going to go.
Of knowing.
There
yeah.
you go.
And so, and what, how far back was that?
19 yeah. years ago. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can only imagine, because now Third Ward, I mean, you have $400,000 homes.
Mm-hmm.
There's still specific pockets where it hasn't developed as
right.
much.
Right.
But the houses are $300,000-$500,000.
Absolutely. No question.
Easily.
Easily.
The land alone.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
60, 70, 80, some
yes.
parcels, $100,000 just for the land.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
yeah.
not even with a structure on it.
Right. And when I moved there were people, I remember one of my first experiences was on Alameda in front of, I won't go into the names of the locations because everybody's listening is going to know, very popular, everyone would know where it is, but for one of my first experiences was I saw a man being rolled over. He'd gotten in an altercation with the other guy mm-hmm. on Alameda mm-hmm. and you know, they got into some fight or whatever, the guy ended up on the ground and the guy rolling over him like we were in like in a movie. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this is serious.
Yeah.
You know? Now this was before my wife and I moved there, you know, this is the 90s.
Right.
This is circa 1900.
This is
the 1900s.
That same area.
Same area, 1900s. And so you're like, okay. And so by, you know, like you said, your point, 2003, 2004, that's yeah. when I moved in the area. And it was moving. It had some good momentum. It was moving in the right direction.
Starting to revitalize.
Starting to revitalize. You could see
yes.
some little buds of green, if you will. It's like, okay, life is, you know, it's not weird as it used to be. So that was
yes.
a confidence builder.
Yes. And that's, I think that is something for a lot of people who are interested in real estate investing to consider, because when you are looking at areas that have potential, that have a vision, that there are some players in there making some things happen, that's typically where you're going to get the most bang
mm-hmm.
for your buck, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people usually don't want to go
right.
in those areas.
Right.
But once the momentum builds and then everybody, the floodgates open, everybody's coming in, but you have positioned yourself as like the go-to investor in that area.
Right.
So it's something to consider for people who are interested in investing. And if you look at it from a long-term perspective, you can farm an area and you could be that go-to person. So when you're getting thousands of letters to sell your house, you know, they'll call you most likely.
Absolutely.
And you can usually end up a better deal because they know you can close.
Right.
Because they know you have 5 properties in the area.
Exactly.
10 properties. But I just say that to say that certain areas that you that don't have all the flowers and the bells and the whistles, a lot of people back up from that. But I would encourage you to maybe just do a little bit due diligence, see what the market is doing, because the Third Ward is close to the medical center. It's so close to downtown.
Right.
Right.
I mean, there's just, it's just a prime little pocket.
Right.
And you got in before it rose. So you got in at a lower cost.
Right.
And then, you know, you're going to really profit off the backside of that.
And those, and there's still areas like that, you know, in Houston and in LA and in Chicago and in New York. It's all about, you know, like you said, recognizing the opportunity, looking at it. I know you guys have investments right now in certain areas that would be considered quote unquote low income, but that was when in the '90s that was considered low income. Now it's no longer considered low income, but you know, you maybe, you know, like I took a conservative route. I said, look, I'll move in. I'll take the risk. I'll be the first investor. Right.
Right.
And to your point, Vanessa, you know, you there and then, you know, 2 years goes by, 3 years goes by, and all of a sudden you start saying, man, this is going up in value. The tax bill starts coming in, and you say, taxes now, how much? Yeah. You know, and then before you know it, you're thinking, wow, this is crazy. And then to your point, now you're getting letters in the mail. Now people are calling you. I get more phone calls now about people trying to buy my Third Ward real estate than people, you know, than friends. You know what I mean? I think, you know, I was thinking, that's a hotline. Hello. Yeah, I want to buy your property. Oh, man. Hey, you on that? Yeah. So, so
that
means
you're in a hot area.
Right.
Absolutely. That a lot of people.
You bought a hot piece of meat.
There you
1993.
Go. Was 1993? Well, that was the first kind of the lessons were learned, like in 93. Oh, okay. But
2003.
03. That was when. 03. Yeah.
So let's back up. So in 93, you invested sweat equity, your time, a little bit of your money.
Right. A little bit of money.
Just learning how to fix up a property, just kind of understanding the dynamics of how this whole thing works.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, you bought your personal residence. Mm-hmm. So what was next?
Then I began to, once I bought my personal residence, then at that point, I started really getting aggressive with the, you know, purchasing flips. Mm-hmm. And so I did several flips in Southwest Houston. And that was a time when, you know, the system was kind of, you know, you got to find a system, find a mentor, and there's systems today for that, you know, but did a lot of flips out in Sugar Land, did some in Missouri City.
How'd those go?
They went well. They moved very quickly, you know, because to your point, those are areas where people wanted to be. You got to find the right product though. And I'm always looking at, from an investment standpoint, I'm looking at days on the market.
Right.
Because I'm not trying to tie myself up, my money up, my investors up. So me, I invest like this. You know, it's two approaches. You can do, you know, flips, a fast rolling nickel beats a slow rolling dime, or appreciation, which is more along the investing in the Third Ward in areas where you're talking about a capital appreciation.
Right.
You're not going to find a quote unquote steal, you know, but those are more long-term investments. I saw the Missouri City and Sugar Land stuff as short-term investments because, to Vanessa's point, people want to live right next to the new HEB, the new schools, the great area. I mean,
the suburbs of Houston.
Yeah, the suburbs of Houston, man. It's where you want to be. You know what I mean? It's comfortable. You got elbow room. It's clean. It's
all the
it's beautiful.
Safe.
All the amenities. Safe. Yeah. Yeah, that's where you want to be. And so those are where, you know, I could flip. I can look at the days on. I get with my realtor. She tells me, hey, okay, this area right here, this little quadrant, man, these homes are selling in 30 days. Like, cool. Is there one? Even if I profit $7,000 to $10,000, if I don't lose, it's a good situation. Mm-hmm. Some of the deals I flipped were just to benefit the relationship with my lenders and with my bankers and with my brokers. Mm-hmm. So then they would come to me. Even if, I mean, I did a deal with the broker, maybe I broke even. Didn't lose anything, didn't really make anything. But they kept coming to me and would show me deals prior to, hey, Blau, this is that little deal. Before I email the rest of my little buyers, you want to jump on this?
Right.
Because they knew I would take action. I was enthusiastic, mm-hmm. and I didn't have that fear. And right. I said, yeah, I'll do it.
That's good.
See,
that's really good because a lot of people will sit on the fence. A mm-hmm. lot of people won't make a move
right.
until they know that, absolutely, mm-hmm. out of fear, until they know, like, it is the perfect deal.
Right.
And
there's never a perfect deal.
No.
And to your point, I love that. Sometimes you have to just have to earn the sweat equity is really mm-hmm. what you earn, and the relationships, the rapport.
Exactly.
And so now you're the go-to right. person.
Exactly.
But you'll never be the go-to person if nobody sees you doing anything.
Yeah. Exactly. You're not taking any risks.
Right.
Right. Right.
So when you were doing these flips, mm-hmm. were you using private investor money? Were you using hard money lenders? How were you
hard
funding
money lenders.
These deals?
Okay. Yeah, it was hard money lenders. So the hard money lenders, we know how they work. So the deal is based, the money is based on the deal.
Right.
And if you've gotten, a good relationship with your carpenters, your carpet guy, where your numbers are, then, the numbers work with the hard money lender I did hard money because I never planned on keeping the property. Yeah, the interest rate was super high. Could be yes. even considered usurious, right? 14, you tell people 13, 14, whatever. But what I found is as I've now 20 plus years of being an investor and all that, a lot of your large publicly traded real estate and development companies, they're paying 12.99%. Now it's all internal.
Right, right.
But they're lending themselves money at 12.99, 13% to get deals done.
Right.
So when people say, man, you're paying 14%, I used to feel a little bit some type of way about that. But like, man, maybe I am getting screwed, man. Maybe I need to, But what I found is they said the big money, the guys are paying 12.99 for those development deals, right. for flippers or not for 30 years, they're not paying 12.99, right. but for 6 months, right. for 8 months.
Yes. Yeah,
that's what
for
they're
a short
doing.
Period.
Short period, yes. short term, yeah.
So, and then I want to just back up a little bit for our listeners. So those who have been following all the Housing Happy Hour podcast, when we interviewed Jennifer, the lender, she is what you call a conventional lender.
Right.
So she lends to the consumer, the buyers looking to purchase. Well, Blau is talking about a hard money lender or a private lender, and sometimes conventional lending from your local branches. That's when you can obtain an investment mm-hmm. loan.
Yes.
Right.
So, and we'll have more episodes on that.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Well, primarily they focus on investors, people that are going to do flips.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
They need quick money because you get it in cash within 5 days or 3 days.
Quick. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And the investment, the lending is based on the deal as opposed to the borrow
right,
as much.
Right.
And that's why, you guys know, and hopefully the listeners know, you got to do deals in order to build up your reputation
right.
with the lenders because they want to know your story.
Right.
Not yes. so much your credit report, not so much how many millions you have saved up in the bank. What they say is, what's the deal? And have you done this before? And what's the chance of you getting in and out and making it happen? So
right.
There really isn't an excuse of why not to do real estate investing. If you have the desire to do it,
yes.
be enthusiastic about it, link up with the ladies, and mm-hmm. they'll help you, earn some money. Because as far as I'm concerned, the only people that make money work in the Mint.
Right.
The rest of us got to earn it.
That's right.
And you earn it by providing that service. So, yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
That's good. That's good. So what did you do from there?
So I did the flips, and then what I did is a couple of flips, another lesson. I thought I was going to flip a couple in Ward 3, right? Because I saw, okay, these have a lot of margin. You're buying a house for, $60,000, was really worth $150,000. Man, I can flip that. But I learned a lesson. No flippers. Certain areas aren't really... At that particular time that I was doing
right.
it, that wasn't a flip zone.
Right.
That was a buy and hold zone. Well, not even tear. That was a buy and hold, or if you bought, it's a rental. It's a rental time.
Market.
Yeah,
okay.
You buy in that area to kind of, in my space,
right.
you buy in that area to for capital appreciation. You buy it, improve it, put tenants in it, and they pay the mortgage down,
right.
and you maintain it, and then it over 7 years it goes from being worth 100 to 300.
Okay.
So now you triple your money in,
right.
60 months.
You probably 7 years.
Seven
years.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Did
yeah.
you keep those properties?
I did.
Do you still have those?
I do. I have those properties. Yeah.
Wow.
I have those properties. And then the But then the ones in like Sugar Land and in Missouri City and in Southwest, those are the ones that just, they were flipped. So right, they were bought, sold, and, you know, we buy them, put a little bit of work into them, and then they're gone, you know.
Okay. So was there a lesson that you learned during this, from starting at 20 years old to now?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of lessons, but I see the main lesson was go ahead and, you know,
pull out the,
yeah, pull the out scroll. The scroll, man. Yeah, exactly. No, I'd say mentors are important. You got to, because, you know, just like anything else, if you want to learn how to, you know, shoot a basketball, probably talk to somebody who, that's what they do.
Yes.
You know, don't talk to the guy that is cutting your lawn unless he happens to also be a professional athlete, basketball player. Outside of that, you know, so I'd say, you know, a lot of things I've done on my own just because that's how we're all kind of taught, you know, school teaches, you know, do your test, take your test on your own. It's your responsibility. But then when you get out in this world, you know, it's, you got to listen to people. You got to meet, listen, and take their advice, you know? So I'd say the number one lesson I could say is, you know, get a mentor, you know, work with people. If they're telling you something and, you know, they're probably
someone,
you know,
who has the proven success, the proven model. And I would even say the proven system.
Right. Yeah,
because if you're able to plug into a system, a real estate investment system, that'll also help you. It'll provide the tools and the resources that you need to keep, because it's a business.
It is.
Yeah. And you need to keep that business organized.
It does. And it doesn't guarantee success, but it mitigates risk.
Right.
That's kind of the only thing we can do, is kind of mitigate the chance of loss. We can we can manage that, you know, because anything else is kind of, you know, it can happen. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I say that's the greatest lesson is, to your point, get a mentor experience and have them work with you and move forward.
Show you the way.
That's right. Awesome.
Yeah. That's good advice.
And what are you working on now?
So now I'm working on multifamilies. You know, I was kind of, you know, you look, think about the old Monopoly, right? You know, you buy one house, you do this, and you eventually trade it in for a hotel. Or, so, and it's, it works a lot like that. Even if you don't trade them in, like you say, I keep them, but, you know, it's a different place. And so with that, I even have a mentor. So that's what I'm learning about now. Okay. I'm learning about how to, you know, build 100 units, 200 units, you know, multifamilies with parking garages, and learning parking ratios, and say, I want to put 200 apartments there. Yeah, dude, you can't do that because you don't have the space for parking. Oh, no. Yeah, no, you can't do that. So we got to look at ratios for parking. We have to look at what the city's going to permit. We have to look at, now I'm learning about the fact I got to now deal with, not have to, but now I get the opportunity to deal with politicians, because in certain cases you have to, you know, I always thought, I don't like politics, I'm not really into politics and all that, but
so when you get into development and you're talking about putting 100 units in the city, you could, or anywhere,
then you start talking to some politicians. You need to learn that world.
There's relationships. You need to have relationships.
Yes.
There's other support, other approvals that now factor in, versus you just going after that one house, putting that family in. Now you're talking about, oh, wait, you're trying to put in 100 families?
Yes.
You need to talk to me first.
Exactly. There you go.
So that's awesome. That progress, and knowing that each deal is different, and how do you, you know, put all the pieces of the puzzle together for that specific deal?
Because
it's not a one size fits all.
No, it is not.
So,
and we got to learn. We're all learning.
Reconfigure your business model for each new change.
We got to learn how to do it. So we're all just learning. It's I consider myself a success, because success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal or ideal. It's a vision that you have. It's something that's tangible that you can see, and it's progressive, right? It's a realizing it is not something I've, you know, I got all the answers. I'm learning. Like I
it's
said,
not a destination.
It's a journey to your point. Journey. Yeah, to your point. So,
something that I think is important for people to know, like in business, every business person has gone through quote unquote failures or struggle or hard times.
Challenges.
So what, during those moments, because we've all had them, what pushes you through it? What gets you motivated? Because, you know, sometimes we might have a day or a week where we're like not motivated, because we're feeling like, man, I just keep hitting wall after wall. During those moments, what encouragement did you have, or pushed you through?
I think just really having your, you know, keep your eye on the prize.
Right.
Because yeah, it's going to be, you know, you, again, we, you know, just got to keep your eye on the prize, man. Keep your eye on the goal, because it's, it will, as you run through those negatives, I mean, put it like this, as I sat back and say, when the real estate debacle happened in 2000 and well, about 2006, seven,
yeah.
I was doing some, what I call luxury real estate. Or what we call, so I was doing prospecting, which is, prospecting is totally different. So I'd gone from flippers to, you know, doing the duplexes and buy and hold, to then prospecting. Hey, look at that land. I'm going to buy that land and I'm going to build a new home there. And then I'm going to sell that home, you know. And right around that time, you know, I started, man, in, you know, 2006, and had a couple of projects going. And then all of a sudden the lending stopped. So we couldn't borrow money anymore. So then the customers couldn't borrow money. So then I was, quote unquote, learning that lesson. So now I'm stuck with all of these homes, and, you know, what do you do? I was supposed
to be selling. So what did you do?
I prayed real hard, ate my Wheaties, lamented a little bit, but then I got with it, and it just got some support. You know, when I say that, you know, you have investors, you have other people that will support you, and, and eventually we flipped them. I learned about how banks work, you know, how they have to do short sales and stuff like that. You learn, okay, we're all in this together, so we're going to have to sell this home for, you know, you're not going to be able to sell this home for X amount of dollars. You're going to have to sell it for this, and then that's going to be a bad mark on you, and it's a bad mark on us. And, you know, you learn those lessons, and you keep going down the road. But now, again, that was 2007. We're in 2020 now, so, you know, that's umpteen years ago. Everybody's kind of forgotten about that. I still remember it, but I mean, the banks and the credit bureaus and the nobody else, they really, now they're saying, you know, okay, what are we doing now? You know what I mean? So you learn those lessons and you keep on moving forward.
Which I think that's great too, because for the listeners that are maybe the millennials or the generation that's after us, who were not aware of the market crash or what happened during that time. So hearing from somebody that went through it and understanding, like, history repeats itself. So, you know, there was the Great Depression and the recessions. And so just being mindful that, you know, speculative investments could hurt you, you know, so just making sure what you're doing, at least starting off, you're doing things in a conservative manner. You have a mentor, you're reaching out to people. Just making sure you have that good support system, that if anything were to go south, you guys know that we can lock arms and figure this out.
Figure this out, yeah, absolutely.
When things are south, everyone is.
But also maybe your business model, you build your business model that you have a plan A, which is we want to do this, but we also have an escape route. Like, this is what we're going to do when things do go south.
Your multiple exit strategies.
That's at least what I have to do.
Multiple exit strategies,
So awesome. Well, you know, guys, we could go on and on. Yeah, we could write a book. But I love this, and I think it was so great for other listeners to hear your experience and the wisdom and the nuggets that you've shared. And is there anything else that you want to leave with the listeners? Any advice, any wisdom, any encouragement?
Take a listen, I think, to Above the Noise. Above the Noise is good, because I think you're going to, a lot of it has to do with the, mental attitude. It's all an inside job, man. I mean, you know, whether, you know, you're, whatever you're getting into in this, but we're talking about real estate, is, you know, it's an inside job. You'll be, you know, again, you are the success. The money is added to you because you're the success, Or this, you know, is not so much of you'll, you know, get the money when you become, or you were successful because of the money. Your success, and then the money comes to you because, and but that's an inside job. That's something you do. So I think it's just working on yourself, if anything. Working on yourself, man. Work on your discipline. Have a goal. Be focused. And be confident and enthusiastic. And all the answers will come to you. And I'll be honest with you, it really works, guys, because I could have been in a real bad situation, but I believe because of those principles of what I just said, you know, I kind of, I kind of skated through, you know, without any tumultuous blessing, never filed bankruptcy, never foreclosed on a property.
In
20, over 20
that's
years.
That's really.
And done millions of dollars worth of deals. So,
That's awesome.
So be sure and tune into his podcast. It has so much information and so much encouragement. Thank you for tuning in to Housing Happy Hour, episode 10, with our friend Bilal. Don't forget to tune into his podcast on all major streams, Above the Noise.
Housing Happy Hour, signing out.